A Day in the Life of an Ant by Rosie, an Allegory. I am a soldier out on a mission. Scurry, scurry, we're in a hurry. Follow the leader, then back to the mound. We're on a march.
Hi there, Fred. Isn't it grand being out here on open land under the clear blue sky?
Sure is, Bob. It has to be said. Anything's better than us being dead. Today I feel quite high.
Scurry, scurry, hurry, hurry. The sky turned black. We were smashed to the ground. The landscapes crumbled. The darkness rumbled. One of the monsters was walking around.
I am a survivor back from the mission. Scurry, scurry. I needed to hurry. The others were dead. I stepped over Fred, then I ran back to the mound.
Postscript. The monster stood on one foot, shaking some ants from its shoe.
Some say when we're not around, there'll only be roaches and scurrying things like you.
The Sands of Time. They landed 250 Earth years after the last human breath. One small tick for the antennaed robot, one giant gold star for alien kind. The metallic chunk stood upon the wasteland, registered destruction in every direction, analysed the foulness of water and air.
Report your immediate terrain,
ordered the alien safe in the mothership.
Silicon dust and strange vegetation, hard-gooded surfaces around fallen constructions.
Check for signs of intelligent life.
Abandoned vine-covered shelters, rusted-out wheeled transport.
Have you found natives?
Scurrying small creatures alive in the detritus, images of upright creatures faded and framed in the shelters.
Continue to search for a living upright creature.
None of these creatures have been found alive. There is evidence of their barbaric ending.
What is the evidence?
We found countless skulls buried in the sand.
Archie and Gran have words. We were having a stroll around the garden. I was babysitting Archie, an 8-year-old going on 15. Archie's hell-bent on saving the planet. He began a conversation stating,
"You're so old, Gran. You must have all the answers to climate change."
I was sort of flattered, but I needed to put him right.
"Oh, no, Archie. I think it's the youngsters who will find the answers. They certainly have the passion." "I'm not allowed to watch passion on the telly."
"Oh, well, Archie, passion has two meanings. I should have said concern."
"Really, Gran? Mum and Dad are always saying, 'Be quiet, Archie. It's none of your concern.'"
Oh, dear. This wasn't going to be easy. Archie always talks in torrents about anything and everything. Inside, I panicked. Did I know all the climate change buzzwords? Archie produced a list. I braced myself for the challenge.
"Gran, you do reduce your carbon emissions, don't you?"
"I've given up smoking and my log fire. I walk or pedal short journeys. I drive a small car."
"Do you use renewable energy?"
"I've got solar panels."
"How do you produce less waste?"
"I've gone on a diet. and buying my clothes from op shops. I don't litter. I compost. I was giving myself a ginormous thumbs up.
Bran, you do believe the scientists, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes, I do, Archie. I do.
Really?
Oh, God. I need to prove it.
Oh, look, Archie, I'm hugging this tree. As a land care volunteer, I've planted lots of these. But the planet needs so much more from you. Really?
I didn't see it coming. Archie's an extrovert. He loves props. With a flourish, he blew his bugle. Ta-dum, ta-dum. I was startled, put totally off balance.
Gran, tell me about your carbon offsets.
Oh dear, these words really confuse me, but I had a stab at answering.
My bank and super fund invest a portion of their funds into green projects.
He must have been studying this at school because he answered,
"That's an excellent example, Gran, of suppliers using carbon trading to reduce their carbon footprint."
Really?
Gran, it's all about greenhouse gases.
I was getting out of my depth. Green had begun to creep into the vocabulary. I began to feel a little green around the gills.
Gran, are you okay?
I tried some humour.
Oh, it's just an attack of carbon neutrality. I bought a new toaster the other day. Well done, Gran. That's what the small appliance advert is all about. Really?
I'd had enough. I slumped to the ground. Archie handed me water from my water cooler table. He frowned.
Archie, are you okay? These are plastic cups. Not biodegradable.
Climate bingo. There was a kind of hush all over the room when a young man with a shaved head entered the High Waters Retirement Centre. He was carrying George's wheel and numbered balls in one hand. He held a pair of goggles and flippers in the other.
Is he holding that swimming stuff, Glad?
'Cause he's a smart ass, Nancy. He's suggesting our centre is about to drop into the ocean.
Gladys always used colourful language. He wore a white T-shirt with a large black slogan. Do something now, you might come back.
What does that mean, Glad?
I guess he believes in multiple lives, 'cause he's not got a smart head, Nancy.
Gladys giggled, but Nancy didn't.
Hello, everyone. I'm known as Grasshopper. I've come prepared.
He held up the goggles and flippers. No one laughed.
George, my uncle, had a seizure early today, so I'm standing in for him.
George was popular. Some of the women snuffled. From the first,
eyes down,
there was all-round shock. Grasshopper's calling caused arthritic knee knock.
Number 2, climate change is true. Number 66, root underwater.
And so it went on, until Grasshopper announced a break.
Time for a cup of tea and a custard cream.
You know, Gladys, about climate change,
I worry for my grandchildren.
Well, Maudie, we all do, don't we? I remember my parents worried about the atom bomb.
And Rex under the bed.
Yes, and I worried about Henry surviving Vietnam.
Well, at least we won't be around to face the results of climate change.
Come on, Nancy, pass the biscuits. What's up? You're looking confused.
But what if we do come back? What if we do reincarnate?
Nancy, for goodness sake, you're Catholic. Say a prayer and take a wafer. I mean a biscuit.
Back to it, people. Number 90, the storms will be mighty. Number 70, climate catastrophe.
Nancy had tuned out. She tapped her friend's shoulder.
But glad, what if we do? Number 8, it'll soon be too late.
Hells bells, Nancy, I guess we'll be fu-
Without warning, Maudie's hand swung across the table and clamped upon Glad's mouth. Then, with a great heave-ho, Maudie rose to shout,
Bingo!
One more. The Sea Files. Agent Maloda phoned Agent Scully.
Can't talk over the phone. Meet me in the usual place.
This alerted Maloda's phone tap dancers. This caused the intrepid agents to drive a convoluted route to the usual place. Maloda told Skulky,
The sea in the window man has paid a visit. There is a wormhole to planet B. We need to go to Base Camp Everest and turn due west.
Skulky answered Maloda.
This could be a trap. I know you want to believe, but scientifically we have no proof that wormholes exist.
This alerted Skulky's microchip implant concealers. The intrepid agents went by separate transport to Everest Base Camp. They met, rubbed up, and on skis turned due west. The microchip implant concealers tracked their path. They came across an imposing man-made mountain. A section to the left and up a bit slid open. They stepped inside, guns drawn. The entrance slammed shut. A chilling vapour rose from the floor. Before the darkness flooded their minds, they both looked up and saw a sign.
Paid card holders only this way, others wait here.
Not to be continued.
Oh, there's a postscript.
C stands for conspiracy. You can tell that I've been watching the rerun HD series of X-Files. Sorry if I have offended any X-File devotees. Rosie.